Chapter 5. Creepy. Frankie. Now, Frankie had seen some weird stuff. The Frankie family's weird. Water 7's weird. Hell, he's weird. But he has to say, the Straw Hats take the cake on how weird, how crazy you can get. And he's not just talking about the way the captain's made of rubber, their doctor's a reindeer, their swordsman wields 3 katanas, one of them is supposedly cursed, and the latest member of their crew is a talking skeleton. Nah, that stuff's pretty super, if you ask him, the kind he can roll with. It's the other things that get him. The creepy things. He first notices these creepy things when he goes into the kitchen to restock his cola and grab a midnight stack after working all night, and finds 2 pairs of glowing eyes staring at him from atop the counter, accented by a sharp-toothed mouth and far too much glistening red wet stuff for him to handle. Like a man, he assumes he's gone far too long without sleep and backtracks out of the room as quickly as he dares before his mind can fool him further. The eyes follow him every step of the way, and even the thing starts shifting unnaturally to follow him out of the room before Frankie gives up on acting super and just sprints away. The next day, he thinks it's just a nightmare, before realizing he was most definitely awake. His eyes are always perfectly functional, and Luffy just thanked him at breakfast for not ratting his midnight snack out to Sanji. Hell. What the fuck? Thriller Bark was creepy for a number of reasons, most of them relating to the island itself and its inhabitants. Zombies, shadows, ghosts, and super talking skeleton dudes. But Frankie can handle that. It's the other creepiness that really stands out to Frankie, makes him feel like that time before on the ship. The kind that he thinks isn't real, but knows later it most definitely was. He first notices it as Brooke boards the ship. He seems positively delighted to be there, to be among human souls again. But all the same, he appears to lean away from certain members of the crew. Frankie would dismiss it if he didn't know that A, Brooke leans towards other members of the crew, and B, Luffy, the most welcoming to the skeleton, is the one that makes the skeleton the most nervous. Frankie's sure that if he asked the man, he would say something along the lines of, "They make my hair stand on end. Not that I have any hair. Oh, wait, I do. Yo-ho-ho-ho-ho." He doesn't ask, though. He isn't sure he wants to know what he thinks Brooke knows. But he's a builder, a shipwright. However, it's in his nature to poke around for a potential problem. Not that his crew is a problem, of course. The next creepy things he notices are more Zoro-related. It's subtle. Wouldn't really be an eye-catcher if Frankie hadn't been looking for it already. You see, ever since he met the swordsman, he feels as if he isn't actually seeing all of him at once. There's always been a haze sitting about him, as subtle as they come, like a cloud on a misty day. Seemingly normal, but with a closer look, it's like it doesn't match the rest of the world. So he keeps recalibrating and recalibrating his eyes, keeps looking for the odd moments when Zoro seems to just fade from existence, like he slips out of sight and just doesn't come back until one of the crew drags him to where he's supposed to be. Frankie entertains the thought that maybe this is why he's always lost, but dismisses it almost immediately. And here, on Thriller Bark, when life itself is being torn asunder by humans playing devils and gods, that chain tethering him to this realm seems to solidify, and the cloud resting about his shoulders fades away, leaving Frankie to catch glimpses of limbs coated in shiny green scales, and eyes that flicker red from the back of a green head. They wink at him when Frankie stares too long and fade away the next moment, as if there was only ever cropped mossy hair on the man's head. The cyborg would think it was Robin's handiwork if the eye wasn't distinctly beast-like and Robin wasn't concentrating on using 100 other summoned limbs to defeat an enemy. The fading veil-like thing over Zoro is even pointed out by the monster that has Luffy's shadow of all things. And that's when Frankie knows this stuff isn't just in his head. Because if that idiot can say, "Hey, you guys are little demons," meaning it literally, Frankie thinks, and "Why are you so foggy, green sword guy?" and make Robin smile that scary, knowing smile of hers, Frankie is definitely sane. He hopes. However, the creepiest thing by far is Zoro's smile. Toothy, bloody, and with more thirst and death than Frankie has ever seen before. But maybe that's just Zoro. He can never tell with the guy. So yes, Zoro is creepy, and Frankie doesn't like the way when he shouts, 3,000 worlds! The world seems to split for just a second, as if a man just stepped and sliced through 3,000 places at once and still managed to dissect an enemy with three clear strokes of sharp, cursed, haunted blades. No, Frankie doesn't like it at all. Because on stormy nights at Water 7, Tom would give in to Frankie's pleas for the scariest stories Tom knew of, as it fit the mood and would be super during the whole storm. Come on, Tom! And those stories would oft feature tales of a man, a monster, with a dark hole for a heart and a pitch of tar for a soul. The man had a penchant for flashing across seas with a single step, havoc in his wake, as if the barrier between realms had no hold on him, as if space bent to his will and not the other way around. It reminds him of Zoro sometimes, when he casts a look at the swordsman in battle. The third incident is, funnily enough, with the third member of the monster trio, Sanji. Frankie thinks he finally knows why they're called the Monster Trio, beyond them simply being ridiculously powerful. The incident occurs when they're in the New World, after 2 years of training, and a heartbreak so deep it cuts all of them to their soul. Frankie does not like the rumors of Marineford. They say it was the war of the best, that only the most powerful walked its bloody path. But Frankie's heard that there were more than men fighting there. That there was a suspicious plume of fire at Ace's grave, 3 days after Luffy rang the bell. A horrific mimicry of the fire that was said to have warred over the dead man's father's grave, 3 days after his execution. Frankie's finally back in his workshop with the sound of his crew, his family surrounding him with a cacophonous yet beautiful noise, and a new idea under his hands, and he couldn't be happier. But the next bit requires a bit of balancing if he wants to make it work. He has to lift the glass panel into the eye of the ring, but he can only reach it if he uses one hand, leans on his tiptoes, and stretches the other arm out for balance. In hindsight, he should have added this bit first. Oh well. Almost there. Almost got it. Easy, easy. All right. Frankie? Ah! Crash. With a thunderous sound, Frankie whacks his hand around, turning his head as he does, letting the glass shatter to the floor and nearly hitting the tray of cola out of Sanji's hands. And that wouldn't normally be odd. Frankie can be clumsy, especially when he's focused and someone startles him. He supposes he needs to retrain himself in that regard. Before their little break, Luffy had taken to jumping up on Franky's shoulders while he was working to see the new creation, and Franky had learned not to startle. Luffy will probably continue to do that again. At least some things stay the same. However, it's what happens in that second of chaos that freaks Franky out. Franky's hand, big and metal as it is, should have grazed Sanji's side. But it didn't. And not because Sanji dodged away, either. Instead, it's as if there was a giant hole in his side, gaping and wide, yet perfectly ordinary. So that Franky only touched a black silk suit instead of the skin underneath. That's not all. In the flashing second, with as focused as Franky's eyes were, he could see a wisp of smoke and something sparking, flickering from the cook's pointy mouth, as swirly eyebrows stood out against literal ash-gray skin. He doesn't know how to react, doesn't even know if what he saw was real, only gives a small, high-pitched laugh and, "Yeah, what about you? You startled me," when Sanji asks if he's okay. He sits in a kind of stupor, cold cola held in a metal, shaking hand, as Sanji takes his leave. What did I just see? Franky casts a glance at the shattered piece of glass on the ground and the empty space in the machine it was supposed to go in. Guess I'll know soon enough. Thankfully, beyond shadows in the corner of his eye, weird hazy visions, spooky feelings, and flashing eyes in the middle of the night, Franky only has one more major freaky incident before he gets the terrifying answer he's looking for. Nami's yelling at him to bring the Watcher, named by Chopper for its big eyepiece after he came down to see if any glass had gotten in his foot after the accident with Sanji, up on the deck, as it's apparently too big, I can't get a proper tan with that in the way. And what does it even do? But he doesn't particularly care. After all, she's one of the five reasons he brought the thing up here. Brooke had been uneasy around her and Usopp, too, despite the fact that Usopp was more scared of him and Nami was a woman. Damn bony pervert. Both were relatively weak and lacking any freaky power like the monster trio had, so it had bugged Franky for ages why Brooke was tense around them and the monster trio, but not the cyborg or the talking reindeer. He turns the machine on just as a dark cloud passes over the sun. Suddenly, the world is cold and dark and dreary, and Franky knows his eyes look far away as he peers through the lens at his comrades. Wait, what? What? They aren't there. Only Robin, sitting on her lawn chair, is. Instead of the others, Franky views a shapeless form of wind and cloud and bursting yellow eyes, and something crouching in the corner of the deck, feathery, shadowed, and whimsical. It has far too many joints to be human. Franky pulls away as a smashing, sparkling noise emits from his left, a crashing from his right. The sun's shining on them again, and the chilling song Franky swears he must have heard is already nothing but a distant memory. Nami's hand rests on the right side of the machine. Is Franky imagining the little claw-like scrapes just before her nails? Denting it gently. While faint smoke. A bullet? No, it smells far too much like Usopp's stars to be that. Wisps from the cracks of the motion to his left. Franky, Nami smiles, all knowing and terrifying as her eyes seem to glow a particular shade of molten gold. Weren't her eyes brown? I suggest you stop. Usopp looks over and cocks his head like a bird, as if his place hadn't been filled with feathers a second ago. He doesn't say anything. And that's somehow scarier than Nami's words. Okay, she prods. Okay, Franky agrees, and promptly begins to dismantle the machine. Good, The spare parts find a home in the bowels of the ship, where only Luffy treads normally, as Franky can't stand the sight of them, even if it was good metal. He can't bear to throw them out, either. Something tells him they'll cause more trouble in the ocean depths than on the ship. He feels all cold and empty when he looks at them. He shouldn't feel that way on his ship of dreams, surrounded by loving crew members. Robin is the one to finally give him the answer to all the freakiness his crew has going on. He thinks she was amused by it before the Watcher mishap. She, too, avoids the metal when she can. It isn't like her at all, and it's the final tipping point in her observation of his interactions with their less human companions. It's the day after said mishap, and Franky's still all jittery, feeling like he's seen something taboo, when Robin glides up to him in the aquarium, where Franky's relaxing with some cola floats. Who knew cola could taste so good with ice cream? Did you know that five of our crew hail from the East Blue? The Going Merry did as well, she says simply, and hands him an old but cared-for book with pieces of paper, newspaper clippings, and some notes sticking out of it. Read that. Make sure it comes back to me in good condition. She finishes with some grabbing motions, taking Franky back to the time he first joined the crew, which results in him nodding vigorously, and the woman disappearing into the hall with a satisfied smile. The title is East Sea, Devil Waters, and Franky gulps. Inside, the freakiness is explained, and something in him relaxes with it. At least he knows why they're all freaky now, and that all the rumors he's heard are true. His questions are answered, and some things he didn't even know were strange had an explanation. He'd heard of Klabautermen before. He knew Mary had one, and he knows Sunny does as well. But this explains the extra presence he felt in the Sunny's hull some days. He's glad he created the Mini-Mary. Who knew ships could have restless ghosts? He's happy the Lamb has a final resting place, haunting place, safe in the cradle of her comrades and out of the ocean's depths.